From the Watson Institute at Brown University, this is Trending Globally. I'm Sarah Baldwin. So here's a story you haven't heard. Aaron Gruen is a rising junior at Brown. He's a double concentrator in music and chemistry, and this past March he was getting ready for the most important recital of his college career. His dad was flying in from Germany to see it. The next part of this story, you can probably guess. The pandemic spread through the U.S., and instead of his dad coming to Providence, Aaron had to scramble to find a flight back to Germany. He finished out the semester remotely. But Aaron didn't want to just sit at home waiting for things to get better. So once he was back in Munich, he reached out to a local hospital to see if there were ways to volunteer.
The person on the phone was a doctor. He basically asked me, "Can you come in this weekend?"
So he did.
On that first day, they were already showing me how to change IVs, taking blood gas samples. I had to help clean the patients, do their sheets. Yeah, they really threw me in the deep end.
I talked with Aaron from his home in Germany. Before discussing his current vocation, I asked him what it felt like back in March to buy a one-way ticket from Providence to Munich while news of the pandemic seemed to be getting worse by the hour. Here's Aaron.
I had no idea what was going to happen in the future, if I could even ever come back to Brown. I was scrambling to find a flight back. It was hard to do. The only connection I could find was via Canada, and the borders were closing rapidly, so I was worried for several days straight about even making it back home to Germany.
But you did. You were able to find a flight. And so what was it like getting on that plane? Did you have your cello with you?
Unfortunately, I did not, because those last-minute flights were rather expensive. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to take the essentials that I can at this point, and I can rent one, which I'm doing now in Munich. And that flight, since we didn't know anything about the virus, or very little about the virus at that point compared to what we know now, I was very concerned. I got my hands on one single mask, which I wore for the duration of the flight. It was very empty.
That must have felt eerie.
It was strange, but my mind was still racing with the adrenaline from the end of semester.
Mm-hmm. What did you do when you got home?
I slept for about a day after all of that excitement. And those first couple of weeks before online classes resumed are now kind of blurry, to be honest. But I was doing some work for classes, chatting with friends. It was all kind of a mess. I did some cooking, watched some movies with my with my dad and my brother. And while I was waiting for classes to restart, I was just seeing the numbers go up and up. Actually, at that point, it was much more in Germany than in the US. And I sat there thinking, staying at home, really all I can do? Isn't there something else?
And so what did you come up with?
I looked online, basically searching for some volunteer work in my area. And I came up with things like this site where you can sign up to basically buy groceries for some vulnerable population. And then there was another one where I put my name down to volunteer at a hospital. And I was pretty sure I wasn't going to hear back from that one, because obviously there was some, legal stuff. If outside people come and work in the hospital and get corona, that could quickly turn into a worse situation. But actually, a couple days later, I did hear back from that organization.
You were surprised.
I was a bit surprised, more so because the person on the phone was a doctor, Dr. Fish, who runs an intensive care unit at a hospital in Munich.
And why was he calling you?
Well, he basically asked me two questions. The first one was whether I've ever worked in an intensive care unit before.
And what did you say?
I said no. And the second question was, are you scared of working on an intensive care unit? And I also said no. And he said, all right, well, great. Can you come in this weekend?
So what was your first day? What did they have you do? What was it like walking into the ICU?
Well, I guess one of the shocking things for me is that none of the patients there really look like people anymore. They're just attached to so many tubes and cables, and they don't really look like humans.
Were they all COVID-19 patients?
So they were not. This ward was a ward for, well, in normal times, a ward for patients who come out of long operations and need extra medical attention, anesthesiology related. But they also take any patients who are in a quite bad condition, which is something I figured out after a few months there. It's basically a ward for the worst cases in Munich, let's put it that way.
Wow. And so they needed volunteers because the hospital staff was so pulled into the COVID swirl?
So this group of four Munich hospitals actually had a whole pandemic reorganization. And they were, at that point, very worried about getting a second wave. And so on this group or employed a lot of medical and pre-med students, anyone they could get their hands on, essentially, to help out with the basic tasks in the hospitals in Munich in case they really do face a shortage of medical staff. Because if they're all getting sick, they need somebody there to take care of the patients. And this building in which I was, they tried to keep it as free of COVID as possible. But there were patients who came from the outside with some other condition and did test positive.
Oh, and then were they sent away?
Yeah, they were sent away as soon as possible.
And do you consider yourself pre-med?
I do consider myself pre-med in the American system of colleges, but also, I guess, in the German system too, because their students go to med school right after graduating from high school. But the first 2 years of their med school experience is basically similar to the pre-med experience in the US. You're not working in hospitals or doing much hands-on stuff with patients. It's very classroom centered.
Well, what did they have you do that first day and in the time since?
So on that first day, they were already showing me how to change IVs, taking blood gas samples, helping with procedures, basic procedures where I would have to essentially hold the patient in certain ways so that the doctors and nurses could easily get to them. I had to help clean the patients, do their sheets. So that was really on the first day. They really threw me in the deep end.
It sounds like it. That's amazing. Well, what was going through your mind? Were you thinking, I don't know how to do this, or here, let's go, I'm going to learn?
I was very much thinking the latter. I took a notebook with me, which I expected I'd need for something, and I was writing down all the terms that I didn't know so that the next time I came in, when they mentioned that term, I would know what they're talking about. I had so much adrenaline going at that point that I was just kind of going along with it and closely observing what the nurses and doctors were doing.
Do you remember what it felt like when you came home after that first day? Like what was your body feeling? What was in your mind?
I was really exhausted. It was basically, 8.5 hours of nonstop standing, apart from a small lunch break. And that gets hard on my whole body. That's hard on my feet and legs, especially. Yeah, I was just exhausted that first day, after that first day. But my body kind of adjusts, and moving patients around, patients that are basically that can't do anything themselves, that are often comatose in a comatose state, is physically exhausting.
I wonder, you know, you've been working now in the ICU for several months. Is it all a blur, or is there an experience in particular that you'll never forget?
A lot of the work does turn into a blur, but there were a few moments that definitely stand out. One that immediately comes to mind is on the second day that I was there, a nurse pulled me aside into one of the beds, and she said, "All right, we're gonna be taking this patient off life support now. And if you want to be here and hold his hand, that would be great because I have to do something else." And so I was standing there and holding his hand while he was literally taking his last breaths. And it one of the most sad things about this whole coronavirus pandemic was that, or still is, that people can't come and family, friends cannot come and visit their family members on the ICU.
That's important work, holding a dying person's hand.
It's, I mean, yeah, you kind of hear the someone talking about it, but then when you're actually doing it, it kind of makes your heart jump for a second, like, okay, this person has lived for whatever 80 years on this planet, and I'm the one who's holding his hand.
That must have been a profound experience. Did that happen to you many times after that?
It has happened several times after that. The first time was definitely the most shocking, but after that, I hate to say that it's part of the life on an ICU, so to speak, and it's inevitable on an ICU like this.
Was there anything that surprised you? Was there anything that was just not what you had predicted or?
I think the level of confidence in the staff at the hospital that we could do this, that we can somehow overcome these hard times, was actually quite relieving after hearing all of the news all the time. Coming to the hospital and hearing this from these, I guess you could call them motivational speeches by the team leaders, the head doctor, and the head nurse on the ward gave these speeches, talks to the team, and there was a sense of optimism in it that we can do this, but it's going to be hard.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm glad you were in that kind of environment.
It was very supportive.
Well, I wonder, has it changed how you feel about being a doctor? Has it made you want to be one even more or a little bit less?
I can definitely see myself working in that profession in the future. It is a, of course, you learn the stuff in school. I'm taking chemistry and the pre-med requirements, but that day-to-day work is, it's much more human than just learning the physiology of a person or the how the chemical reactions in the body work. It's kind of what I've observed, a lot of a trial and error job. And
What do you mean by that? Can you say more?
sometimes in these, at least on this ward, they're not really sure what they can do. They're sometimes not sure what exactly is going wrong, and they just have to try different combinations of drugs. Of course, all informed, and they're excellent professionals in this field. But even they, when they come together, I mean, there are often five doctors on this ward, and they often don't know what to do. And I spoke with nurses and doctors alike about the COVID situation as well, and nobody knew what was really going on, what was happening, and what we could expect. So, despite having years and years of training, sometimes these very well-educated professionals don't even know.
Well, speaking of COVID, I wonder if you have what you've observed in terms of the healthcare system in Germany and the public health response as compared to those in the United States.
One thing that surprised me at the beginning was even while I was reading on the news that in the US they had a large shortage of masks and PPE, and that healthcare professionals were having to bring their own PPE from home or reuse it. The hospital and the the whole hospital system in Munich had enough PPE every day for everyone. They had enough N95 respirators, or the equivalent, for one person to use for each day that they came. And they were regulated. They were keeping them locked up in a cupboard. And we had to fill out a form every time we took one. They were, I guess, a valuable commodity at the time. And there was never a shortage of them. The head of the hospital bought PPE at any price possible. And I was amazed how well supplied and stocked the hospital was. Of course, the country did go on a lockdown, just like the US did. And I think Germans mostly followed it. Of course, there were incidents where they didn't, but somehow it's gotten better now, and things are open. And I even have done a little bit of traveling, which has been nice, getting out of Munich for a few days.
And are people wearing masks?
People are required to wear masks in all indoor places, indoor public places, shops, restaurants, and anything of the sorts, gyms as well. But outside, people are not wearing masks.
And how does that feel? Does it feel like life before the pandemic, or will things never quite be the same?
At this point, the mask just seems like it's the normal thing to do. You grab the car keys, you grab your phone, you grab your wallet, and the mask. Life is, for the most part, back to normal when you go out and you're seeing people eating at restaurants and seeing people sit in beer gardens drinking beer and eating food outdoors and indoors alike. People are traveling, businesses are back in operation. Of course, there are restrictions and you have to keep a safe distance, which most people do follow, and most restaurants and do follow. But it feels, I guess, as normal as we can get in this situation.
And just again, what is the view from Germany when you look at news coming from the United States? What are people seeing?
They are worried. They're seeing that cases in the US are continuously rising and that places are opening up and people are not even socially distancing. And that's seriously concerning because I don't know how the virus is supposed to be stopped if things are opening up and returning back to normal when we're seeing such a high number of cases.
I hope this isn't a difficult question. What are you thinking about for the fall? Are you planning to come back to Brown, to campus?
At this point, I have decided to study away in Germany, so not to transfer, but to take a semester or a year off from Brown, and continue studying it here in Germany.
So what will you continue with music and chemistry?
Yes, to the best of my ability, at least. I would study chemistry formally, for which I could get credit. And since I just found this out yesterday, I'm still working on the music part, but I know there will be opportunities. And certainly, I'm going to be performing and playing in different ensembles that I can find around. In fact, I'm planning on studying in Berlin, so I'll see what I can find there and hopefully take lessons with a teacher at a conservatory.
I'm worrying about your cello. Where is it?
It's currently in a professor's office at Brown, who's very kindly agreed to take care of it. I worry about it too. I have a decent instrument here, but it's not the same as my own cello. And I don't know when I'll get back to it. I don't know if it'll be, if I can come and visit Brown at some point. I mean, according to the guidelines, it's not possible right now, and I wouldn't want to. But I don't know if it'll be in half a year, even in under a year, when I can come back.
It must be such a difficult separation from the,
It's.
you know, you from your instrument.
It is, and also separated from my friends who are all over the place and are equally as confused. And even going back to Brown, I wouldn't really be able to see my friends as much as I would like to.
And how are you staying connected? What is the platform that you and your friends are using?
Well, obviously we chat a lot on WhatsApp, Messenger, iMessage, and I try and Zoom with them regularly or call them. My quintet, for example, we try and have a Zoom call every 2 weeks or so, and it's been fun.
A Zoom call to practice together or just to talk?
A Zoom call just to talk. Practicing over Zoom is too difficult because of the time delay.
And last question, I promise, and then I'll let you go back to your evening. You're 20 something, and this is a time in your life that was leading up to you being launched into your future. How are you thinking about your future now?
Well, for some time I was considering transferring from Brown to just study medicine in Germany because I didn't know what the future would hold in the US, whether it might be 2 years, 3 years before the situation improves. Nobody seems to really know. And I am still somewhat considering that. But I love Brown too much to just transfer to a different institution. So I want to complete my time at Brown. And after that, I think I do want to go into the medical field, whether it is actively as a doctor working in a place like an ICU or doing research. But to prepare for a pandemic like this in the future, there are a lot of people needed in that industry, and it's an industry that's definitely not ever gonna run short of demand. Brown prepared me for a lot, but it certainly didn't prepare me to be thrown cold turkey into the medical profession.
Well, it sounds like you're swimming at the in the deep end. Good for you. Well, Aaron, I wish you every good thing, and I have every confidence that your future is bright, no matter how murky it looks right now, because you're just terrific. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Sarah. I hope that we can meet in person.
I hope so too. I live 10 minutes from campus, and I'll be really happy when you can come back.
I will certainly be too.
Okay, you take care and stay safe.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Dan Richards and Jackson Cantrell. Our theme music is by Henry Bloomfield. I'm Sarah Baldwin. You can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you like the show, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps others find us. For more information about this and other shows, go to watson.brown.edu. Thanks for listening, and tune in 2 weeks for another episode of Trending Globally.